Let me invite you this evening to take your Bible, please, and open with me to the Gospel of Matthew and the second chapter, Matthew chapter 2, this evening. Tonight we want to take the time to look at the familiar story, the wise men who came to see our Savior. Christmas is often a time that we focus on the gifts that we might give to those to whom we love. And tonight we want to focus on the gifts that we might bring our Savior. Matthew chapter 2, I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 12, and then we'll have a word of prayer before we begin. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, we thank you tonight that we can come again and focus our thoughts upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that we can focus on the time of his coming, that first advent in which he was born. Lord, we thank you that he came to earth and became like his own creation, that he might save this sinful creature. Lord, I pray tonight that as we consider the story of the wise men and the gifts that they brought to the Savior, that we would consider what gifts we might also bring unto him. Lord, as we have studied over the last little while throughout the fall, the theme of worship, we realize that our responsibility is not to receive, but Lord, to give. Give unto him the honor that is due his name. Give unto him worship and glory. And Father, I pray tonight that as we focus again on this story, that Lord, you would help us to see the importance of what we would offer to him, who is our God, our King. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. Bless our time, Lord, tonight, this time of study, in Jesus' name. Amen. We mentioned this morning that most of us have in some form traditions at the Christmas season. You have your traditions of what you do on Christmas Eve and what you do on Christmas morning. Many times folks will take the time, as we discussed this morning, and they'll read a passage such as Luke 2. And remember the coming and the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some on Christmas Eve will gather with their family as well, and they might read the simple poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." Christmas is a time that we enjoy celebrating with others. It's a time for us to enjoy being with family and being with our friends. No matter what traditions we hold, I trust that on Christmas Day we will take the time to enjoy giving even unto the Lord. Yes, we will give to one another. We will present to each other our gifts. We will give because we love. We will give because we cherish those. But I trust that you'll consider with me tonight what we might give to Christ in the year to come. That we would give unto Him, for He is worthy to receive of us. Again, I'm reminded of John 3:16. We quoted it this morning. It's familiar to us. But it's such an important thought for you and I to consider this time of the year. That God so loved the world that He gave. The gift that He gave was His Son, His only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in Him, they will not perish. But God has promised to them eternal life. That's a remarkable promise from Almighty God. Because the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. The wages of our sin is death. There is none righteous, no, not one. But God in love gave. We chose to go our way. We chose to sin. We choose continually to live in sin. Wednesday night, we've been looking at those respectable sins. Those sins that we often allow to remain unchecked within our lives. Those sins we often, quite frankly, have good excuses for why they exist. But God nonetheless calls them sin. And we continue to live in sin. And yet the Bible says that God so loved you that He gave a gift to you. The gift of His Son, which leads to eternal life. This evening we want to consider again the gifts we bring to the Savior. Because He came to this earth, because He presented to us the gift of His life, we have eternal life. Again, I marvel of the thought that He became flesh, that He dwelt among us. And again, He was born simply that He might die. As we come to Matthew chapter 2, we find the story of the Magi. And I'm reminded this year that we're again responsible to respond to the gift of God. When someone presents to you a gift, we feel obligated to give them a gift in return, do we not? It's this time of the year. You'll go out the back table tonight and you might see on the back table a card and it has your family's name on it. You say, I wonder who that's from. You open it up and go, uh-oh, I now have to go home and get a card and get it in the mail real quick because I didn't send them a Christmas card. We feel obligated to respond to the kindness and generosity of others. And we should. Any less should we respond to the love of our Savior, to the love of God who gave of His Son. He gave gifts to you and I, the gift of His Son. How do we respond to Him? What gifts will we bring? As we come to Matthew chapter 2 tonight, I want to begin by considering the gifts of the Magi. The gifts of the Magi. We see the gifts that they present to Christ. There are three in number. In Matthew chapter 2, it tells us there in verse 11, that when they came, they opened up their treasures. They presented unto Him the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Yet I would propose to you that there was more than those three gifts that they presented to the Lord on that night. And I think God took note of that which they presented unto Him beyond the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. What were the gifts that they gave? I want you to see them with me. Number one, through determination, they sought Him. Through determination, they sought him. They gave them the gift of seeking the Lord. Verse 1 says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. The Bible tells us these men traveled from the east that they might come, that they might worship him, born King of the Jews. These wise men were ones that had taken the time to study the Old Testament prophecies. They probably had gotten a hold of the Greek translation of the Hebrew, known as the Septuagint. They quite possibly had been ones that had discovered the timeline of Daniel chapter 9, and they were searching and seeking and trying to understand when the Messiah would come. And through their study, through their diligent seeking of the coming Messiah, the Bible says that God announces to them his arrival by a star. And he guides them and directs them by that star. And with that revelation, they determine to seek this one born King of the Jews. Now consider with me what they could have done. They could have seen the star and said, praise the Lord, he's born King of the Jews. And stayed right where they were. But folks, they made a journey. We don't know how long that journey took. I do know this. It is most likely that the Lord Jesus at this time is not an infant. He is, the Bible calls him here, a young child. Most likely between the ages of 18 months and 2 years of age. It took them some time. On his birth, they find the star. It is revealed unto them. And they make their plans and they make their journey. Through determination, they sought him. I wonder what those wise men thought when they came to Jerusalem. No doubt it was quite a sight for the people of Jerusalem to see these wise men from the east enter into their city. Now we sing, we three kings of Orient are. There was probably more than three. It's most likely a caravan. We think of three because of three gifts that they bring, but most likely there's a caravan. So this had to be quite a sight. Matter of fact, we know from the passage that it says, Herod and all Jerusalem trembled at their proclamation. Where is he born? King of the Jews. It stirred up the whole city. But I wonder what they must have thought on that night, that day in which they arrived. As they come and seek this one, they are brought now to the very presence of Herod, and he doesn't even know where he is. He brings in the scholars, and they can say, well, he was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. No one has sought him. No one was seeking. When Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem some days before, when she was the days were accomplished for her to be delivered, no room in the inn. Only shepherds came. Still, no one seeks him. But the wise men, through their determination, sought the Lord. In verse 10 and 11, we find that the Magi came to the place where Jesus was. Notice what it says with me, please. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They rejoiced. In what did they rejoice? In that they had found him. See, the first gift that they present really to the Savior is that through determination they sought him. It's not so much, folks, about the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. The first thing that they give is they sought the Lord. want you to see with me yet a second thought, a second gift. Through devotion, they honored him. Through devotion, they honored him. Yes, they sought him. But notice what it says, would you, with me in verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, notice now, and fell down and worshipped him. Their determination caused them to seek him. Their devotion now causes them to honor him. These are men of renown, yet they fall on their face. They fall at his feet. They worship him worthy of their worship. Again, I want you to note with me how they honored him. Their devotion is simply seen in the fact that they fell down in humility. Again, this is but a young child. This is not a man of power. This is not a man of dignity. This is not a man of great honor. This is a young child. This is not a man of great wealth. This is not a child even of a king. This was a young baby born in a manger that no one thought about. Lived in absolute obscurity, the son of a carpenter. But they fell before him in humility, for they recognized him for who he was, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They honored him. They fell before him in humility, and they worshiped him in love. They understood that this baby with his mother is worthy of honor, worthy of worship. Folks, that is how all who come to the Lord Jesus must come. In humility, we must bow before him, and in love, we are to worship him. This Christmas season, will you give him the gift of that honor? To humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, to love him enough that you would ascribe to him his proper worth and worship him. I'm reminded of the Apostle John, that one disciple closest to the Lord, the one in whom John writes in his own gospel and refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. Most likely the youngest disciple, a distant relative of the Lord. And the reality is he loved him and Jesus loved him in return. He was part of the inner circle. He was the one to whom Jesus entrusted his own mother. Behold thy son, behold thy mother, as he hung there upon the cross. John was there at every moment with the Lord. He was there in the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was there, folks, in the circle with the Sanhedrin as the Lord was going through his trial. He was there at the cross. He was there at the empty tomb. No one knew Christ better upon this earth than John. John is now an old man. In Revelation, the Lord Jesus again appears unto him. And the Bible says that he did not throw his arms around him. He did not hug him, but he fell at his feet as a dead man. Folks, I'm convinced with all my heart, although our thought might be when I get to heaven, I'm throwing my arms around the Savior, you're going to fall at his feet. Here's the reality. That ought to be in your life and my life now. Through devotion, they honored him. But then I want you to notice that through donation, they served him. By determination, they sought him. By their devotion, they honored him. And in their donations, they serve him. The Bible tells us that after they worshiped him, they opened up their treasures and they present to him gifts. I want you to consider with me how these gifts would be used to help serve him. They present to him gold. Consider the fact that that would be important for that family, would it not? Because in that night, the Lord's going to appear unto Joseph and say, it's time for you to leave and travel to Egypt. And when Herod is taken care of, you will be able then to return. Joseph had to be able to meet the needs of his family, to meet the needs of the trip and the journey and his time there in Egypt. And God provided for them through the gift and their giving of gold. They gave that they might serve to meet his needs and the needs of his family. They presented to him frankincense. Frankincense is an aromatic ointment. It was used in worship as incense, as a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. They presented unto him that frankincense. No doubt Mary and Joseph would want to continue to worship the Lord. Through their gift, they would now present it with frankincense. And yet they present to him myrrh. Myrrh is an embalming solution, an embalming agent. And in this gift, they prophesy of his death to come. They present to him the very best that they had to offer. Folks, it was to them costly, but he was worthy of such gifts. The gold, obviously, was costly. The frankincense was not an inexpensive gift, nor was the myrrh. They gave the very best that they had to offer him, that they might serve him. So I ask you tonight, what gifts will you give to the Savior this year? We've considered the gifts of the Magi. We've considered the fact that they, in determination, sought him. In devotion, they honored him. We understand that they then, through their donation, served him. They gave to him the best that they had. They gave him all that they could. What gifts will you give to the Savior this year? 2013 is coming to an end quickly. Another year is upon us. As you look to that year, what will you give to the Lord in the year to come? Well, my plan is this year just to give God what I've always given him, the same old thing. A little bit of my time, a little bit of my talent, a little bit of my treasures. Whatever I can afford to give, I'll give. Whatever time I have, I'll give it to God. As long as it doesn't interfere with what my plans are, what my will is, what my ambitions are, I'm willing to give to God as long as it's not too much. I'm going to give him just what I gave him last year. I hope that's not our heart. What will we give to him this year? Let me give you a couple thoughts tonight that I think would be wonderful gifts for us to give our Savior this year. Number one, we ought to give him the gift of a greater desire to know him. See, the wise men, through their determination, sought the Lord. And you and I ought to seek the Lord in the new year. What's your desire for 2014? Where's your heart set in the coming year? See, here's the reality. We all have our goals. We may not state them. We may not say them out loud. We may not tell anybody else. But in your mind, already tonight, you know what you want for this coming year. You already have your plans. Some of you have already booked your vacations. You have it all mapped out for the coming year. May not have told anyone, but you already know. What's our desire? It ought to be to know him more this year. See, I know him pretty well. Folks, we really don't know him at all. Our knowledge of the Lord is limited. Our understanding of who He is minute. Matter of fact, Weston reminded us this morning in Sunday school of all that the Lord is and what He really means to us. And He reminded us of the fact that we often live, yeah, I know that's true, but when push comes to shove, we really don't focus on Him at all. God is omnipotent until we don't think that He's doing enough for us. God is omniscient unless my circumstance is too hard and He just doesn't understand. Oh, He does understand. David said it this way in Psalm 27:4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." David said, here's the goal of my life. Here's the desire of my heart. One more day with the Lord. One more day in His temple. One more day to inquire of Him. One more day to behold the beauty of the Lord. Folks, he could have had whatever his heart desired. He was the king. Nothing would be withheld from David. He wasn't just the king, he was the national hero. David had whatever he would have desired. But he said, my desire is the Lord. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." Lord Jesus said it this way, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." What's our desire in, again, the new year? Paul said the burden of his life in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 is that he might know Him. Paul said, whatever depths that would take me to, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, even to be conformed to His death. Paul's desire was, I want to know Him. As you consider what you might be able to offer the Savior this year, we ought to offer Him the desire to know Him better. But we ought to also offer to Him this year a greater love. The first response of the Magi when they saw the Christ child was to fall before Him and to worship Him. What's your response daily to the Lord? What's your response as you enter into His house each week? Do we come out of love for Him? One of the things that really concerns me personally, it concerns me as a pastor, it concerns me as a father, is I can go through the motions of Christianity very simply. I can get up every morning, I can do my little check mark, I can read my four chapters, and I don't have to spend an ounce of time with God in the process. I don't. This book can be words. It can be just stories. It can be just poems and songs. It can be a recording of history. It can be letters that were written. It can be wonderful truths. But I don't have to spend an ounce of time with God when I come to His Word. I can come to church on a weekly basis and I can sit in a pew. I can preach His Word, folks. And here's the reality. I don't have to spend an ounce of time with God in His house. My heart can be far from Him. I can listen to the choir sing, and it never stirred my heart. I can go through the Sunday school lesson, and the whole time be thinking of everything else that to me is so much more important than the time I spend at church. I can sit through the sermon and never once think even of my God. And the problem is my love for Him wanes over time. What we need to give Him this year is a heart of love to Him. Folks, we took the time to study worship for a reason.
Because I'm convinced that too often we come to church, we go through motions, and never really worship. Why? Because our heart's not there. I'm burdened for that. I'm burdened in my own life that God would not allow me to go through my days and not really want to spend time with Him. I'm burdened for my kids. I'm burdened for you as a people, that we don't just go through the motions, but that our heart for God is there. We ought to give to Him this year a greater love. We love Him because He first loved us. The reason we give to Him is because He has shown to us the greatest love and the greatest of gifts. Folks, the love of God in your life is seen every day, if you'll take note. His protection is there. His provision is there. His desire, His longing for fellowship is there. He wants to meet with you. He wants to spend time with you. When you're hurting, He wants to comfort you. When you're rejoicing, He wants to rejoice with you. And even those times when God seems so silent, never forget that behind the scenes, He's always at work. Because He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So this year, may we give to Him a greater love. Finally, we ought to give to Him this year a greater service. A greater service for Him. Those who us have seen the Lord, those of us that have in love worshipped Him, really are compelled to greater service for Him. Matter of fact, we're reminded in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, one that's holy and acceptable unto God. Why? It's your reasonable service. Why do I give the gift of service to Him? Because it's reasonable in light of what He's done for me. We ought to give to Him a greater service. The Magi presented unto Him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I want you to see with me from those three gifts the reasons that we should serve the Lord this year. Number one, the gold signifies and reminds us this truth, that He is Lord. You and I ought to serve the Lord this year because He is Lord. Whether or not you take the time to recognize it, folks, He is your master. You are His servant. And He has the right to ask of you service. Your life is not your own. All that you have does not belong to you. You say, I've worked hard, I've gained this, I've brought this on myself. It's because of me. No, it's because of Him. You have all things. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. He desires to give good things unto His children. It's all from Him. Your talents are from Him. Your possessions are from Him. He has the right to ask of you anything. Your time is His. You breathe today because He gives you life. You have the ability to move around today because He gave it to you. And He has the right to take that from you at any moment. Because your life is hid in Christ. It's not I, but Christ that's supposed to live. See, again, folks, you and I have got to get to the reality of none of it's mine. My life is not my own. And he has the right to ask of you service. Why? Because he is Lord.
Again, I find it interesting. Herod says to the Magi, to the wise men, when you find him, come tell me again that I too can come and worship him. Now, folks, if he really wanted to worship him, wouldn't he have just gone with them? They're the only ones that knew he was even there. All of Jerusalem heard. I don't think it would have been hard to find out where the wise men were. They didn't look like Jews. The caravan is traveling through the streets. It stops at a home. How often do you see that in Jerusalem? Right? I'm pretty sure people knew what was going on. They all heard about it. You don't think there was some intrigue as they traveled through the city? I wonder where they're going to go. I wonder who it is. Folks, that's only natural. But no one followed them. No one else presented to him gifts. No one else cared. Makes me think again of the passage. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Folks, God comes to us on a regular basis. Every time we meet and gather together, every time you open up His Word, He is asking you to come and sup with Him. He is asking that you would come and fellowship with Him. He is making Himself known unto you. What are you going to do with that? Gold reminds us that He is Lord. Frankincense signifies to us the loveliness of our Lord. He is altogether lovely, the rose of Sharon, the dear Son of God. There is none like unto Him. Folks, why ought we serve Him? Why ought we love Him? Why should we give ourselves to Him? Because there is none like Jesus. How do you view Him? When the name of Jesus is mentioned to you, what's your mind's eye see? What's your view of Christ? Folks, He is altogether lovely. We are to behold His beauty, to see His majesty, to behold His glory. There is none like unto Him. That's why we should serve Him. But the myrrh then reminds us, it signifies that He's the Savior. They presented to Him myrrh, a prophecy of His death. And folks, it is Jesus Christ alone that is able to save. There is salvation in none other than in the name of Jesus Christ. You didn't have the power to save yourself. You were bound for an eternity in hell. As a sheep, you had gone astray. All of your righteousness in the eyes of God is but as filthy rags. There is nothing you could do that God would say, those works are enough for me. Everything falls short of the glory of God. We looked just a little bit ago, perhaps last week, of Isaiah chapter 1, in which the Lord says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be like wool.
There is nothing that you and I have to offer God
apart from what He has already given to us. We've been redeemed by His precious blood. We've been saved by the gift of His life. There's nothing good in you, and there is nothing good in me. But what I can offer to the Lord is very simply, because He has loved me, to love Him in return. Because He has made Himself known, to strive to know Him better. Because He gave His life, I can give my life a living sacrifice for Him. On Christmas Day, and at times around that time, you'll gather with family, you'll gather with friends. You'll exchange the gifts. Gifts given out of love. But will you give to the one who loves you more? Who loves you perfectly? Who loves you when you yourself were unlovely? Because folks, here's the reality. You're not going to have a Christmas gift exchange with people that aren't your friends and people that you don't love. You're not going to have a Christmas gift exchange with that person at work that just kind of, every time they talk to you, just irritates you and angers you and drives you up a wall. You're not going to say, I'd like to invite you to my house for Christmas and give you gifts because I love you. Because the reality is, we don't love them. God loved you when you were unlovely. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet a sinner, He still died for us. What gifts will you bring the Savior this year? As you gather with family and friends, as you exchange your gifts, consider what you'll bring to Him who has loved you and will love you with an everlasting love. Let's pray together, please, as we close.